It's good to see you today. Yesterday was mine and Miss Audrey's 35th wedding anniversary. And what a blessing. That time just has flown by. And look forward, if Jesus tarries, to at least 35 more years together. Well, you'll need to ask her, Tommy. And since the peanut gallery over here wanted to say something, I want you to notice Tommy's haircut that he's gotten today. He got his money's worth on that one, the white sidewalls. He is about to go and serve his country, so blessings on you. He's in the Coast Guard Reserve. Today we need to be in prayer for our country and all of our leaders, the House, Senate, our President, all those who are elected leaders who are in authority over us. They need our prayers right now. And you may have been sitting at your home, you know, with the TV on, say, I'm so bored, I'm fed up with this stuff and all. It's not time to get fed up. It's time to pray. It's time to intercede, to go before God and ask Him to speak and move and act today. Because you may be thinking, oh, this doesn't affect me. Well, just wait. It's already affecting you right now, and it's about to affect you a lot more in many, many, many ways. So as we pray today, let's pray for them that they'll listen to God's wisdom. And I know there are all sorts of people say, well, I've got the answer. Well, I'm not interested in their answer. I'm interested in God's answer. You know, what does God want? What is He trying to do, and what is He trying to say to us as a country today? And thank you for your prayers for my mother. She and Dad, we were all together at Myrtle Beach this past week, and Mom had a great week. She came back a little early to get her treatment on Friday, but just to continue to pray for her and pray for her healing. And glad to have Brandon here, my eldest, today. Welcome, son. he loves that. If you have your Bible, if you'd turn with me to the second chapter of Ephesians. As you're turning there, the title of today's message is What's So Amazing About Grace? Remember at 9/11, nearly every public gathering that followed 9/11, the memorial services, the prayer services, there was a commonality there was one thread that wove through all of those public expressions, and it was a song. It was a song from our history. It was a song that's woven through our country's history. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. That song was sung again and again and again. Well, what is so amazing about grace? Now, I realize today there are some of you that have been Christians a long time who are here. You've heard about grace, and before you just check out and put it on autopilot, especially when I read the passage I'm going to read and say, oh, I'm familiar with that. I want you to know today, God may just have a special, fresh word for you today. And for those of you that are new with the Lord, or maybe have never met Him, this message of grace could be a fantastic doorway for you as you discover God's will and purpose for your life and understand that He's all about grace. Grace. Do you think our country could use some grace today? At your workplace, at your home, could you use some grace? Your family, the people that you're in conflict right now. What if there was just a fresh baptism of grace that came? Would things change? What's so amazing about grace? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. Let's pray. Lord, I ask You now to peel back all the blockade, the stuff that gets in between us and hearing Your voice. And I pray today, Lord, we could hear Your voice clearly and plainly. Lord, for that person who is here today, who is going through great pains of the soul, I ask You today, shine into their lives. Reach out to them, Lord, and draw them close to You so they can feel how much You love them and how much You care for them. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, these verses are oft quoted. We are saved by the grace of God. So, how do you describe this amazing grace? Well, first of all, it belongs to God. Do you hear me? It's not yours. It wasn't yours initially. You didn't think of it. You didn't bring it into the world. You didn't introduce it. It wasn't your idea. It's God's. And it's a gift from Him. And to walk around like it belongs to us and cut Him out of the picture is wrong. It's God's. Now, we often use that acrostic. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. All right. Good way to remember that it was paid for by Him and introduced by Him. Jesus showed us the ultimate example of it in the incarnation, where He came, God came into flesh. Just that act is an act of grace. That He would come to where we are and come to be with us. But more than that, that He would lay down His life for us, be buried, rise again, ascend back into heaven, and then invite us to go with him forever in his abode. Do you see that? So when you start thinking about it, it's all about God. It's God's. It's God's grace that he gives to us. Well, it's free also. It's not earned or deserved. I remember when I was a very young pastor, I had this grouchy old guy tell me one day I'd gone out to see him in his house, and he said, well, preacher, I can really do his voice well today, because that's about how he sounded. Preacher, he said, I just want what I've got coming from God. And I physically took a step back, because I wasn't going to gamble on the fact that God might just decide to give it to him right then. Bam! Grace is free, not earned or deserved. We can't save ourselves. The American idea that you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, that's never been right. Nobody can do that. Now, work ethic, all that, yeah, I go for that. But this idea, I'm pulling myself up by my own, you can't do it. You've got to have him. Someone's got to come in and help you. And that's what he did with salvation. He did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. This grace is also simple. It's not complicated. I've had people say, but surely, you know, when you, especially when you're sharing the gospel with someone that's not been hardened by years of sitting in a church pew, when they're hearing it fresh and they say, wait a second, now what you're saying to me is that God is offering me this gift of salvation that I can't do anything for it to earn it? No, you can't. None of it is of you. It's all of God. It's very simple. This isn't rocket science. We tend to overanalyze. And just because we can't fathom the depths of it, yes, it's simple, but it's so large and so unusual and sits in such stark contrast to all the values of our world that we have trouble wrapping our minds around it. That God would unconditionally love us and grant his grace to us, and that he would save us. I mean, the most celebrated Christian in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, was a murderer. He worked for the other side. He went from town to town with letters of mark to find out who the Christians were and to put them to death. He's the guy that's standing there holding the cloaks while they're stoning to death a Christian. It's simple. It's also complete. You know, now hear me on this. There's a lot of people, particularly in the West, and particularly preachers and teachers, they're trying to craft their gift, their charismatic gift, their preaching gift, their teaching gift, to the point that everything's got to be cute and cutting edge and Oh, I never thought of it that way. That at times, get on the edge of adding something to the simple grace of God. Do you hear me? You can't add to it. It's complete. It's complete in Him. You can't enhance it. How are you going to add to Jesus dying on the cross? What are you going to do about that? Can you add to that? How about rising from the dead on the third day? Something about that? You can add to that? How about Him giving you His Holy Spirit? You add to that? The simplicity of that. The completeness of that. So, what are the benefits of grace? Well, first of all, you're saved by grace. You can't save yourself. You can't do it. Never met a person who was genuinely a Christian, genuinely saved, who wasn't first lost. Because until you understand that you're lost without a Savior, you can't be saved. But because you haven't realized your need. Jesus doesn't come into your life as some philosopher or someone with a list of psychobabble to counsel you. Jesus comes as Savior and Lord of all. That's who He is. And it's absolute. It's on or off. Secondly, another benefit of grace is we're kept by grace. Jude 1:24 says this, God is strong and can help you not to fall. He can bring you before His glory without any wrong in you and can give you great joy. Not only does He save you, but He keeps you. We're kept by His grace, not to be snatched away. We receive this gift of grace, and He saves us for all eternity. Our names are then written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are secure in Him. Not to have to wonder, is God going to come back and drag up something from my past and say, oh, I found something from your past. Oh, you don't make the cut anymore. You see, it's not about you making the cut. It's about you receiving completely His gift in your life. Does that make sense? A third thing, you're forgiven by grace. He does away completely with your sin. You're no longer guilty. You're forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for all your sins, past, present, and future. Let me tell you, there's one thing that would change the church in America is if you could get rid of the false guilt that so many people are dragging around like a ball and chain. That they've been to meeting after meeting where guilt has been laid upon them and laid upon them as a motivator for them to do something. And all it does is make them not understand the nature of the gospel, that He forgives us for all our sin, past, present, and future. Now, that is not a license to sin. That is a license to do what verse 10 said in that Ephesians 2 passage that says, now it's on the other side of the reception of grace. We can't work for our salvation, But once Jesus comes into our lives, he then says, we are now his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. So now we can do the good works. Now we have the power to do the good works. Not before. And not to run around feeling guilty about so many things in the past and replaying those tapes. And let me tell you, if you've got people in your life that keep playing those old tapes in your head all the time, you need to cut that off, however you've got to cut it off, because it's wrong. You are living under a lie in that. That is a lie when they come to you with that. You've been forgiven. You are clean. You are pure. You are now the habitation of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, who has come, who has baptized you and taken up residence in you. That makes sense? Praise God. Another benefit of grace. You're transformed by grace. Listen to Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll know what God wants you to do, and you'll know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. The same grace that brought you into Him will be the grace by which He grows you up daily. The theological term for that is sanctification. He's making you holy. Yes, there's a sense positionally in which you were forgiven of all your sin, past, present, and future. But there's also a sense practically in which a daily part of your life, He is chiseling away your life and He is fashioning you into the image of Christ. He is using the circumstances in your life. And listen, you talk about a freeing thing. If you can start to see the circumstances that come into your life, you say, oh, these bad things that happen. Well, these bad things many times are the very things that God is using to fashion us into His image and to drive us to Him. And a personal understanding of mine is that if God doesn't get our attention with a real tiny hammer, what did you say to me earlier, Briny?
Sledgehammer.
Yes. You know, the theory is if it don't fit, get a bigger hammer. If He doesn't get your attention with this size hammer, He might step it on up because He loves you. He wants to draw you to Himself and He wants to grow you up into the man or woman you need to be. We're transformed by His grace. We're healed by His grace. Scripture says crowds came in from the villages around Jerusalem. This is in Acts 5. Bringing their sick and those who were possessed by evil spirits, they were all healed. You see, every time a healing takes place, it is God's grace. He doesn't have to do it. But He wants to do that. How many of you have been a recipient of God's healing, physical healing in your life? Put your hand up. Look around you. You've seen it. You've seen God do it. You're also gifted by His grace. Gifted. Romans 12:6 says, we all have different gifts, each of which came because of the grace God gave us. He gives us these grace gifts so that we can serve. That's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. They're grace gifts, not to be consumed upon ourselves, but so that we can be a gift to the body and to the world. When God gives you a gift, He wants you to give it away. Not to keep it for yourself, but to give it away. And to give the gift away, what do you have to do? You have to give yourself away in service to Him. And finally, you're used by His grace. Paul said this, by God's special gift of grace given to me through His power, I became a servant to all to tell the good news. God wants to use you. I want to challenge you with something. Do you think God can use you to bring someone else into the kingdom? Do you think that? Instead of thinking about spreading your bread upon the waters to the masses, why don't you ask God over the next 90 days who He wants to zero in on in your life? That you'd reach them with the gospel. As soon as I said that, God's already put people on your minds and heart. How many of you, as soon as I said that, you already had a person? Look around you. See these hands. Now, I didn't go out there and put that person in their mind. God did that. How do you receive grace? By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, meaning the faith, is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of anything we have done, but something that God, so God even is the giver of the capacity to trust Him. So here's some application for you. How can you express your gratitude for the grace of God? Because right now, what I sense is in many of you, you have a gratitude to God that's welling up within you right now. You know what God has done for you and in you and through you. So what can you do to express your gratitude? Since you can't earn it, you can thank Him. And here's how you can do it. By making your life count. First Corinthians 6:20 says, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Make your life count. Make your day count. Don't you wish our Congress and those in authority over us had been making days count before the last 2 weeks? Huh? Is time important? When there's a deadline, it's real important. It's real important. Is there a deadline in your life? Do you know? None of us knows. So we need to make our life count today. Are you making it count? Are you investing your life in the things that are going to live forever? Or just in stuff that'll just be blown away? How can you express your gratitude? Secondly, with a spirit of generosity, becoming a generous person. Just spreading it around like God. Jesus comes to town, and what does He do? Everybody in that town, they're drawing him, and he's spreading it around. It doesn't matter. He doesn't go through a profiling ceremony to see if the person's worthy or not. He's just spreading it around, the generosity. And the picture that from my childhood that comes to my mind is on the television show, The Beverly Hillbillies, when Granny and Jed and Jethro on top of the bank building with bags of money just throwing them out on the street, and the money is falling out of the sky like rain, and the people are just running after it. They are running after it because it's something that they value in their lives. I want to ask you today, would the people in your life value generosity that would come from you? A generous spirit, an openness to spend time with them, to share the love and the grace of Jesus. And all the people that are dying by inches in this city right now that just want somebody to care enough about them to ask the second question. The second question. To go beyond the blow-off answer and get below that and see that somebody really cares about them. Really cares. And finally, how can you express this gratitude? By sharing the good news. The most important thing is from Acts 20. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. See, one of our problems is we really don't believe people want to hear the good news. We've believed the lie that the evil one has put out there that people don't want to hear. And the truth is, yes, they do. Now, let me hasten to add, they don't want to hear. They're not waiting to hear some baptized version of some churchianity, some guilt-ridden kind of, that's not what they're waiting to hear. They're ready to hear the good news. Jesus loves you, and He can change your life if you let Him. That He'll come, whatever your problems are. If Daniel was here today, he'd be answering, Jesus, God. That's the answer. That's the answer. What's so amazing about grace? It's God's gift. Won't you receive His grace and act like you're walking in it? One of my children, who shall remain nameless, because there are three of them sitting in here today, I'll just let them wonder which one it was, at what period, era in our lives. But they didn't know that I knew that they had received an amount of money that at the age that they were was a substantial amount of money. It wasn't a big amount of money, but for them it was a lot of money. I watched them to see how they would react with that money, if it would change the way they operated. Man, suddenly they were spreading it around. They were buying, oh, I'll pay today. I've got the money. Yeah, we can go over there. And it changed their demeanor, because they felt like, I have a well that won't go dry. Of course, we know as parents that that well can go dry just like that. Does the well of God's grace ever go dry? Let's spread it around. Let's spread it around. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence and your power today that you're here. And right now, we thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for loving us. And thank you, Lord, that you have a better plan for our lives than we could ever imagine. Today, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, as we open the altar to pray, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, we've asked you to speak supernaturally. We've asked you to speak messages to people today. And we're claiming that right now. And we're asking you to do what you alone can do, that no one else can do. To do the miraculous, to change lives. Lord, today as we open the altar, come. Come with your power. Come with your peace. Come with your presence. We love you, Jesus. Altar is open if you want to come and pray or be prayed for. There are people surrounding you here. They'll pray with you here, life group leaders, our pastors. Come. This way, if you will. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today. And if you have an offering to bring today, there's a basket in the back, basket's up here, and we'll wait to receive those right now. Come on. And while you're coming, we've got two Pascalskas. When you have more than one Pascalskas, what do you have?
Pascal Sky.
Okay.
So we'd like to thank you all for your prayers for Josh. The surgery was a success. Praise God. I will tell you, it was really cool to look up and see y'all clear the benches from a boy. It was funny. We were in the room, and I was looking through the Bible, and I said, "Joshy, I got a psalm for you." And he's like, "Oh, Dad, not a song." He knows I'm a good Elvis impersonator. It was real good. The doctor said he might have a couple days worth of double vision, but according to Josh, how long did you see double for?
Just for the morning.
Just that morning, Monday morning. So it was really good. Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you for the prayers.
Let's thank the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your healing. Lord, you've done it again. This is another Pascalskas son that has been the recipient of God's healing. And we thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He still doesn't have any hair on his back, but it's coming.
This morning, as Matthew and Amanda And Petra and Rahab, you didn't want to go get Lydia? Lydia didn't want to come. Okay. We're going to, we have sent them out numerous times, but we're going to send them out. Yeah, they keep coming back, don't they? But we're going to send them out one more time, but I'm going to let them share testimony and what God is doing in their lives right now and then what's going to be doing next. So, man, I want you to go ahead and share.
As Dusty was talking this morning, some of you have known us since 2001, and those of you who have seen God's grace in our lives. When we came here, and I asked permission to say this, our marriage was over. There was pretty much no, it was bad. We were very in a bad place. And God's grace just loved on us and said, no, I'm not over. I'm not done with you guys yet. And we've seen it happen so many times. And a few years in our marriage, we tried to get pregnant. We could not get pregnant. And God literally healed me. Y'all, some of y'all remember that. Literally healed me. I'm pregnant with number four. So as he was talking about grace this morning, y'all, it's so real to me. It's so real to me. Because if you had told me 10 years ago we'd be doing what Matthew's about to share, what we're doing, y'all, I would have said, there's no way. But with God, his grace is so big, there is always a way. And I just wanted to thank him and thank Sycamore for not giving up on us all the many times we were hard to deal with 2001. So we love y'all.
We love you too. Wow. The floods of emotion. We are getting ready to leave this Saturday to go to Dallas, Texas. And it's not like us going to Vidalia where we can come back every so often. We're going to be there and won't be able to be back here till maybe next summer, as God wills. And I'm going to be attending Christ for the Nations Institute out there. We started on the 15th. It's preparation for us to go into full-time ministry as missionaries. And the thought of that this body is our family. And I know that we come and go, and we're not here every Sunday like we used to be when we lived here in Savannah. But this is still home. And I'm going to miss that. But as we step out in faith to do what God's called us to do, we don't have it all together yet. We're still raising funds to go, but God knows what we need, and he has supplied every step of the way. And so we've made this step, and it's the biggest step that we've gone through yet. And so when we go to Texas, y'all are going with us, because y'all are our brothers and sisters. And it's just a short time compared to eternity. And so I just know that y'all just pray for us. Just keep us in your hearts. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to come back next summer and work camp again. I don't know what God's got in store for this time, you know, for next year, for next summer. But whatever it is, it'll be what God wants. So I just want to say thank you for loving us, for being with us through all the stuff that we've gone through, because it hasn't been easy, but y'all been family.
Okay. We love you guys very, very much, and we are with you in the next season, and the next. Aren't we, church?
Amen. Amen.
All right, well, we want to pray for them this morning. I believe what God's told me to do, first of all, is your surrogate Savannah parents, Gary and Lynn, need to come up here. No, Gary and Lynn are more than brother and sister in Christ now. You guys, that as you guys come to gather around them, Dusty, I'll let you anoint. You do the anointing, but I believe, Gary, you're supposed to pray for them this morning. But church, you gather around. I want you guys to scoot up a little bit. And yes, Lydia's in the back in the kid zone.
That's all right.
By the way, Tuesday is when they find out if they had a girl or if there's a boy going to come to Matthew's rescue. All right? And Matthew did not tell you this, but on the back table as you leave today, they have their newsletter with them also, and you can pick that newsletter up and read more about what's going on. So, okay, Gary?
I'm going to turn it over to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for faithful service. Lord, I thank you for seeing lives brought to fruition. Thank you for the blessing that this family has been to all of us. Father God, in ways that will echo throughout eternity. Lord, I thank you for the lives that have been touched in another country by this family. And Father, I thank you for the lives that will be touched in the future. Lord, countless, countless lives that these children, this child that has yet to be named, which is probably going to be another girl, because girls are a blessing. Father, I ask your protection. I pray for just angels to surround this family from the rafters to the floorboards. Father God, and I pray for wisdom for Matthew and for Amanda. Holy Spirit, I pray for just a fresh infilling of your Spirit. Father God, this family is unrecognizable from 2001. I pray the next time they are with this body, whether it's 6 months from now or 6 years from now, Lord, that they will be just as unrecognizably changed. Father, you call us to grow. You don't call us to stay the same. And I thank you for this growth. And I thank you in advance for just all the wonderful things that are to come for this family, Father God, to grow your kingdom, to strengthen the body of Christ. Father, let them know that they do not go alone, that the body is with them. We're only a Facebook poke, or an email, or a phone call, or a prayer away. And Lord, I'm looking forward to more of Amanda's cooking when she comes back. Or when we go see them in Texas. Father, bless them as they have blessed us by their faithful service. Lord, we pray these things in the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen.